All right. Well, God bless your hearts tonight in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be back once again and to be able to share the greatness of God's Word, although I would say that's an understatement. It's been quite some time, but I've feels like I've been off in a distant land, so to speak. But I guess you could say I've been starting the next chapter of life, and many people say that when they start new terms of employment. That's exactly what's been happening. Many of you know that I've been looking to kind of move on to something different in terms of going forward in the working world, mainly because I've been working for the YMCA of San Diego County for nearly 6 years. More specifically, during my time as an undergrad in college. And over the past year, it's been pressing to just move on to do something else, as many people have experienced, and I'm sure many of you are well-versed in that kind of thing. But long story short, it was back in September during our participation at the Church Day event at Point Loma Nazarene University, when I prayed the hardest I've ever prayed in my life. It was that exact day. And I had asked the Father if he could supply me with some new terms of employment by the end of that day. That was my request. Now, you may think that that's a big ask, but we all know at this point that with our God, all things are possible. And I had submitted some applications a few days prior, the previous week, because my job search had already been underway, but I really hoped that God would expedite the process. And let me tell you, the day ended with an outcome that was beyond anything that I could ask or think. One of the applications that I had submitted had been for a paraeducator role with the San Diego Unified School District. And I had already been placed on the what they call an eligibility list in case a position opens up. But of course, since the school year had started, I didn't think anything would come out of it. But no sooner than I get home, I receive an email from HR asking for me to submit a kind of a virtual video interview. So of course, I got straight to work and submitted it right off the bat. And to the Father's credit, and his credit only, I received an offer within the first hour of submitting the video interview. Yeah, talk about a but God moment, huh? Additionally, on top of that, a week later, I had received an offer with an entertainment company to DJ and host karaoke a couple of times throughout the week. Anyways, talk about God's goodness. The point of all of this is that God has shown me that, you know, he has a greater vision for us than we have for ourselves. So I've entitled the sharing tonight, God's Vision for You. Now, I trust we've seen this reality even more specifically during our harvest outreach period of time. God has chosen us to be his children and to be the lights of this world. Because we all know the darker the world gets, the brighter our light shines. And I'm just so blown away these days at what God is doing, not just in our ministry, but in our individual lives and what he wants to do and how he continues to work in our lives and what a privilege it is to be able to do that, to do the works that he has called us to do. And if we're going to have a vision for ourselves and for our own individual ministries, then most certainly the most appropriate way to do that is to see what God's vision is for us. You know, what is his perspective for our lives? And I know that some of the verses tonight that we're going to be looking at will be familiar to you, but trust that every time that you open up God's Word, dive into the scriptures, God's word is always somewhat new because he's always working in us and teaching us in a very personal manner. So you can take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And you know something, guys? we're not here because of our own abilities or our own accomplishments, our this, our that. You know, certainly we had and probably still have, I trust, a hunger to know God even greater. But God is the one that brought us to Him. And He's been pursuing us our entire lives. And in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to take a look at verse 4. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God in His foreknowledge chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame, that we would be separated for Him. You know, He is holy, and He has made us holy. And what a unique and very special position we are in as born-again ones, huh? We are undefiled, hand-chosen by Him and for Him. And verse 5 conveys such an undeniable reality. Kind of starts in verse 4 at the end. It says, in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the grace of the glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, this is something that God has done. We didn't do it for ourselves, but it's active, it's present, it's now. You see, whenever we read God's Word, it's God's Word speaking now in real time. And we've learned over the years, and we're still learning more and more, to take the Word of God literally wherever and whenever possible, right? And is there anything in this section of scriptures that appears as a metaphor or some other form of communication? Yeah, not at all. Because it's been made very clear to us that we have been chosen according to the good pleasure of His will. And this word will has been rendered before as intense desire. See, if we're going to build a vision for our lives, we have to go back to the source. We have to go back to the beginning. God. Not us, but God. And God pre-marked us to be His sons according to the pleasure of His intense desire. You know, we could go to bed now and just accept the reality, because that is the truth of the Word. You know, it's a very personal, very intimate selection that He made. You know, for each one of us individually, it's very personal. God selected you, and no one can replace you. And no one can replace that relationship that He wants to have with you. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Such a phenomenal subject. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And you know something? God's vision for our lives is so tremendous because it all started with Him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Yeah, we're quite special, aren't we? You know, God has developed a very unique relationship with you. Not because of what you did, but because of what He did. You know, He is holy, and He is the only one that could have made us holy. And He did it through the accomplished and finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, we can't do the work that He has called us to do until we have the relationship with Him that He has called us to have. All right, let's go to John chapter 15. All right, John 15. And in John chapter 15, let's go to verse 16. John 15, verse 16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." There it is, the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. You know, the moment you were sitting on that bench at the basketball game, or when you were sitting on that bench at the park before you got born again of God's Spirit, saying, you know, there's got to be a God that cares about me. There's got to be a God that has a purpose for my life. Because I can't go on trying to live life and do it all by myself any longer. And guess what? There God was saying, yep, that's right. So let me send somebody along to tell you all about it, to tell you about this relationship that we're going to have. See? He chose us. Now, do you think that if God chose us not by our works, but by his grace, and in this vision that he has for our lives, that there's anything that you and I are going to be able to do his work with our own ability? Probably not. You know, he chose us, and it was by his grace. You know, many of you know that a little over a year ago, I made the conscious decision to be more diligent on looking after my physical health. Now, I just recently began to go walking a bit more with some other folks, and not only does walking improve your physical well-being, but it's a really good time to talk with the Father as well. And all you have to do is talk. All you have to do is talk. And God does the rest of the work. And many times, he has shown me things that oftentimes he wants me to share with the body of Christ and to any others who may need some ministry. And I share this because it is God's great joy to be in communication with us, right? To bless us, to take care of us. You know, this is just a very small example, but aren't our lives made up of small examples of God working in us to really tap into his vision and see what he wants us to do and what he's working in our hearts to do, letting us understand our importance to him? Yeah, you see, Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could have this relationship with the Father. You know, we walk in newness of life. You know, we can shed the thoughts of the past. You know, we're not the same people we once were. You know, we're not the people living with the old man, inadequate, sin-conscious nature. We are new creations in Christ, and we are to walk in newness of life. And just like that terrific song by Gino that says, we're not ordinary. You know, we don't have to figure it out by ourselves any longer. We have been made free. And you all know John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, you know, so on and so forth, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See, it's not because of us. It's not because of us. It's God's vision for us and his power that enables us to walk out on our calling. I'm going to close this thing out with Colossians 1:25. And if there's any verse that describes God's vision from the beginning of time, it's Colossians 1:25. Colossians 1:25 says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." That is what God's vision was since the beginning of time. You know, ever since the fall, all God has wanted was for mankind to get back into his presence and help accomplish his will or his intense desire. And that is God's vision for you. That is God's vision for your life. When you were on that park bench or playing that pickup basketball game and you were wondering what purpose you had in life, maybe you didn't have a vision for yourself. God sent that special someone to tell you all about it so that you can now live life more abundantly and be that same someone for somebody else who needs to know God's vision for their life. Folks, this is God's vision for you. And this is the purpose that he has called you to, amongst other things. You know, we each have a very special and dynamic purpose in the one body of Christ. And God sees us all the same. We have been hand-selected and sanctified or set apart special just for him. And this is what God sees in all of us. Amen? So, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful privilege it is to be your ambassadors, to be your children, and to do your will, Father. We thank you for the reality of being chosen by you to walk out and see the vision that you have for our ministries, Father. So I pray for each heart in the body of Christ, and as well as those that we continue to touch, Father. Thank you for all these things, and all I can do right now is say thank you. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, I pray, amen.